Skagway's local newspaper has new owners from Whitehorse, and Haynes School plans a town hall to talk about increasing technology in classrooms. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway News has new owners. As founding publisher and editor Jeff Brady announced in his last issue, new owners take over the 900 circulation paper this month. The editorial team stays the same, but the Whitehorse-based owners plan changes to the 37-year-old newspaper's look and online reach. KHNS's Margaret Friednauer has more.
When Jeff Brady listed the Skagway News for sale about 5 years ago, he knew it might take a while. He envisioned a young couple taking a chance like he did when he started the paper in 1978. It was Brady's college-aged daughter who had to break it to him that it wasn't likely someone of her generation was going to be interested in taking over a biweekly newspaper in small-town Alaska.
But then she just kind of said, well, a lot of kids of my generation just are used to having things handed to them and aren't willing to take the kind of risks that you took. And I said, well, okay. I guess that's true, but damn, I still wish it would happen that way.
Eventually, a buyer did come forward, and the new owners are no strangers to Skagway. They are Jans Vandehorn and Chris Sorg. They own PR services in Whitehorse. Vandehorn has family in Skagway, and the company does business there. They print a variety of visitors' guides and produce websites for several local organizations. Brady calls them good friends. Brady was surprised when he visited them at their Whitehorse office last year, and they suggested they were interested in the paper. Here's Sorg.
And of course, Skagway really is a sister community to Whitehorse in some ways. So yeah, so really it was kind of an opportunity to deepen our roots in Skagway.
The newspaper industry has struggled for years, but Sorg says they go into the purchase knowing it may not become their most profitable business.
Whether the paper is a big money maker is not going to be make or break. So, you know, I think we're in it for the long haul, and we should be able to sustain that. And we didn't purchase it with the idea that it's going to be a bonanza, a labor of love. You know, let's hope. I mean, that's the way it should be.
Brady says PR Services has the energy and resources he didn't have to take advantage of new revenue sources like online advertising that will help keep the paper viable.
You have to adapt, and running the print product takes a lot out of you just on its own. But I think, you know, making the web product better is what you need to do. But you also need to preserve the revenue stream. And with new owners, they'll be able to fix that.
Elise Giordano will remain a Skagway news editor and oversee the paper's editorial content. Katie Kolash will remain as advertising director and business manager. Brady plans to help out for the next year and take on the title editor emeritus. He'll even keep a desk at the newsroom for a while, but he says he wants to get out of the hectic cycle of being editor, publisher, writer, and everything else that goes along with running a small paper.
Once I hit my 50s, I just kind of came to a personal realization that I didn't want to, you know, run a newspaper anymore, basically. I really wanted to try other types of writing or get back to things that I was doing in college, and I just didn't have the energy for it anymore.
Brady will keep operating the Skagway News Depot bookstore and Lynn Canal Publishing. He will work on his novel and keep organizing the annual Northward Writers Symposium. He'll also continue producing the annual Skagway Alaskan Visitors Guide. That publication is a trove of the type of historical stories Brady likes to research and write about most. Brady's work on the Alaskan led to the publication of his book, Skagway, City of the New Century, 2 years ago. He's also excited for more time to hike, write, and work on his family's Dyea property. Brady says while he won't miss the schedule of running a newspaper, he'll miss talking with people and sharing their stories. But he says it won't be hard to keep up those relationships in Skagway.
But I'm just going to engage with them all at coffee in the mornings now. I don't have to write about them so much.
Brady remembers the people he interviewed for his first edition back in 1978. He says it is still one of the most memorable articles he's done. It was about moving Native graves from the old Dyea Townsite Cemetery away from the river. He had to be mindful of local Tlingit culture and navigate the newly arrived National Park Service bureaucracy as well.
Yeah, that stuff's still going on. It's amazing. But for a first big story, that was a a pretty powerful one for me.
Readers will still be able to visit the Skagway News Office above the bookstore on Broadway. Not much will change there. Brady has packed up a few things and taken down some photos, but there is one particular photo he left up. It's a picture of the only other person that shares the title Emeritus at the newspaper.
I left one of my favorite photos up, though, of Boyd Worley at Clean Sweep about 10 years ago when he was clean sweeping and they found a bong up by the border. I left that photo up because it's just hilarious. And he was our proofreader here for 20 years, too, so we love Boyd.
The most visible changes to the Skagway News will be small design changes in the next issue, the first not under the ownership of Brady. It comes out on May 15th. Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
The Haines School District is holding a town hall meeting next week to talk about a technology initiative. It's called Engaging the Future, and a central goal is to expand school technology one-to-one. That means each student from K through 12 would have access to their own iPad or laptop. This started a few months ago when school staff and school board members met with an Apple representative to talk about education and technology. Here's Superintendent Ginger Jewell, who spoke on KHNS's Talk Around Town last week.
What is it we want to see? And what we want to see is we want to see our students who are well prepared to meet the challenges of the world that they're going to step into.
The Engaging the Future group met several times to come up with a plan. When they presented it to the school board, some board members were surprised. They balked at the idea of paying $120,000 for 10 iPads, 65 MacBooks, and smart boards for all elementary classrooms. Right now, the Haines High School is one-to-one. That technology purchase would enable all grades to be one-to-one. The board talked about it more at an April 14th workshop. There were a few major concerns. One, it's a lot of money. Board member Sarah Chapel.
To me, the numbers were staggering.
Concern number two, will young children be overexposed to technology? Lisa Schwartz.
I don't think you need to have kindergartens with iPads. I really don't. I don't agree with that.
And three, some parents are really opposed to increased tech. Brian Clay.
They are worried that their kids are going to walk in at 8 o'clock or whenever school starts, and they're going to have a computer in front of their face till 3 o'clock.
Elementary teachers Sophia Armstrong and Patty Brown were at the workshop. They both said right now it's difficult to incorporate tech in their classrooms because they have to share iPads or laptops with other grades. The teachers said one-to-one would also help them individualize student learning. Another goal of the Engaging the Future initiative is to hire a technology specialist who would work with teachers. The specialist would train teachers how to most effectively use the iPads, laptops, and smart boards in their classroom. Superintendent Jewell says that job would be paid for by a professional development grant. So school staff who have spoken at meetings about Engaging the Future are all for it. But the school board is more hesitant.
So I think if we're going to implement this program, we better educate the public on what they're getting and how it's going to be used. They don't understand how it's going to be used, and I don't either.
Jewell says Engaging the Future member and teacher Sam McFeeters has come up with two more technology rollout options with different price tags. McFeeters and the rest of the Engaging the Future group will answer questions from the public at the town hall. That's Thursday, May 14th at 6:30 p.m. in the school library. State epidemiologists have confirmed the first case of paralytic shellfish poisoning in Alaska this year. The case originated with recreationally harvested clams on a private beach near Ketchikan. The victim had typical but not severe symptoms within half an hour of eating the clams on April 24th. Leftover clams were tested for the PSP toxin and came back with levels more than 13 times over the Food and Drug Administration's threshold for commercial shellfish.
The real scary part, of course, is that death can result in a really short period of time.
That's Department of Health spokeswoman Donnell Smith. Early paralytic shellfish poisoning symptoms include lip and tongue tingling. That can progress to fingers and toes losing control of your arms and legs and difficulty breathing. It can be fatal within a few hours. Commercially harvested shellfish are tested and safe to eat. There's no convenient way to know if recreationally harvested shellfish are safe. State epidemiologist's last confirmed case of paralytic shellfish poisoning was in December. That's it for KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.